since the future really is unknown, you get some indicators, but as Secretary Bob Gates said, we're perfect record at predicting the next conflict. We've always gotten it wrong. So what Dr. Holmes is saying is he's saying you have to be agile. You have to be able to respond. And the only way you can respond effectively in a fairly short period of time is to be ready postured and have the capabilities at hand. That if it takes you 5 years to build up, it's too late.
The second one is to avoid the trap of artificial trade-offs between non-military and military programs, and that sounds like that's almost entirely or entirely a budget and financial exercise and not a military or strategic exercise.
The military capability is dependent on the resources allocated to that. We would argue that you need to allocate resources commensurate with your interests and the threats that are posed to those interests. So how much risk are you willing to bear? And currently the budget deliberations in Congress, many of those are, well, we increase defense spending, but we have to decrement social spending, or we need to commit and increase in social spending. And we're saying you need to separate that security is security. So whether you want to spend more or less on health care or education, if you tie your security investments to that, then you will underinvest in security. And these are two separate things. So we would place a priority on the security of the country. And then within that secure environment, we can do all kinds of really great things.
The third takeaway is to focus non-military instruments of power and policies on supporting the discrete goals of national strategy. And that strikes me that what you're getting at there, what Dr. Holmes is getting at, is the idea that we just really need to pay attention to how we get to the outcomes that we want.
If all you have is a stick, then every problem you're going to try to beat to death, right?
Right.
So we don't want to see the over-militarization of U.S. policies abroad. But if you don't want that to always be the option, then we have to invest in diplomatic and economic engagement. And it just seems that we're always behind the power curve, always behind the ball in engaging these very important regions of the world, Latin America, Africa, Europe, you name it. And so diplomatically and economically, we're always playing catch-up. And when these crises spring up, the only instrument you do have is the military one. And we think that's backwards.
And that fits with takeaway number four. You mentioned Secretary Gates a few moments ago, and I heard echoes of his comments on soft power as I read takeaway number four. Be as clear as possible about what can and can't be achieved by military intervention.
Yeah, we think because we have a shortfall in diplomatic capabilities or what have you, that we can roll in a military force and they can do everything from killing the enemy if need be to rebuilding a society. And that's just not the role of the military. We're talking, 20 and 30-year-olds who have been trained in the art of combat and tactical proficiency, and now we're wanting them to engage with local village elders and foreign societies and cultures and somehow navigate that and create education systems. And it's really a misuse of the military. So we need to be clear on what military power can do, and that's create security spaces in which diplomatic, economic, and cultural things can take place. And if you use it in other ways, the outcome won't be good.